last week we discussed the rules of Shomer Shemasr LeShomer. If someone is watching something for a person, and what he did was he gave it to someone else to watch it for him. We said the case we were talking about was someone taking money to Eretz Yisrael for his friend's son. Well, let's just say the case. Reuven sent Shimon to Eretz Yisrael with money to take to Reuven's son. When Shimon arrived there, he gave the money to someone else to take to Reuven's son. So we said the rules were like this. We hold that Shomer Shemasr LeShomer is Chayiv. And we're talking about even if you're watching it for free, a Shomer Chinam. We're still talking about a Shomer Chinam, someone who's not getting paid. If your job is to watch something for someone, even though you're not getting paid, you are not allowed to give it to another person. You can't give it to someone else to take over that shmira. And if you do, you're going to be responsible, even if that person didn't do anything wrong. Because you can say, I trusted you to give an oath, to swear if something happened, to make yourself clutter. You gave to someone that I don't know, or that I don't necessarily trust so much, and I'm not obligated to receive, to accept his oath as a proof of a loss. That's what we pass into the Gemara, that if one Shomer gives the object to another Shomer, no matter what happens to it, that's called like a Pshia, he's responsible for it. However, we said one exception. The exception was, if we know that the owner of the object regularly gives his articles to this other person to watch, so then he can't say, why did you give it to that other person? I trust you to swear, but I don't trust him to swear, because the Shomer can answer back, you always give it to him. This time he might not have been around. He said it has to be a reason why he didn't give it to him this time. So this time you didn't give it to him for whatever reason, but I have all the right to give it to him because you do trust him to make a shvua. So the sefer we saw last week extended that heter to the case of Shimon, because he extended that heter to say that if the shomer gives it, if there's an umdana, if there's a reasonable assumption that the owner would want you to give the object over to another person, like the case last week was where the traveler to Eretz Yisrael, Shimon, was not going to be able to get to the yeshiva in time before he had to go back, and the son of Reuven said, please give it to my friend. So there the assumption was that to carry out that mission, you had to give it over to that friend. So there the assumption was Reuven was not mine, so that was an extension of this rule, that wherever the owner, we can assume, would want you to give it to that other person, or does not mind you giving it to that other person, because he usually does it also, so then it's okay, you're not responsible. So that's what we said last week. Tonight we're going to talk about another exception to the rule that you're not allowed to give, if you're a shomer, you're not allowed to give it to someone else. Right? And the case we'll introduce is a real case that happened. This is brought in the Shuras HaDin by Chaim Yehuda Rabinowitz. He's a Dayan in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. So it's a complicated case. I'm just going to focus on a part that has to do with Shomer Shemasr LeShomer. So Reuven owned two Sifrei Torah, and he was trying to sell them. He gave them to someone who sells Sofer Stam. He gave it to someone that sells Sifrei Torah, and he said, look, hold it in your store. In case someone comes that wants to buy them, I'd like you to give it to that person, and you know, give me the money, and I'll give you a percentage. So that was fine. And what happened was, one day he got a call from the owner of the store, and the owner of the store told him, I have a prospective buyer for you, but he lives far away, he's not going to come to the store. So Reuven called up his friend Shimon, and he said, Shimon, I'd like you to pick up my Sifrei Torah from the store and take him to Levi, the prospective buyer who lives far away. So Shimon said, okay, fine, but I can't really make it myself. I'll send one of my workers to pick up the Sifrei Torah from the store and take it over to Levi, the prospective buyer. And Reuven agreed. Months later, Reuven calls up Shimon and says, so what happened? Where is the Sifrei Torah? Where's the money? So Shimon said, the Levi did not want to buy the Sifrei Torah. So my worker took them back to the store, and I'm finished with it. Reuven called the store, and the store says, I never got the Sefer Torah back, and I can prove it, because when Shimon's messenger, Shimon's worker, took them, he gave me a receipt that he was taking the Sefer Torah, and I would have given it back to them. He would have demanded the receipt back had he returned them, but he never returned them, and I still have the receipt that he owes me to Sefer Torah. So Reuven has discovered that Shimon's worker was negligent. That's the assumption here, that Shimon, he trusts the Zohar Stam. That person has proof that he didn't get the Svarim back. So Shimon's worker obviously was negligent and did not return the Svarim to the Zohar Stam, and he didn't get the money for it. He's not around. We don't even know where he is now. He's escaped. That's Mar Tess, Mr. Tess. So that's the case. So is Shimon liable? Shimon was a shomer, prospective shomer. Is Shimon liable for the pshia of his worker to pay Reuven for the loss of the two Sefer Torah? Now this is like an esoteric case. So first we're going to bring it back down to more normal cases, and we're going to fill in some of the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Vav that we learned last week, where the Gemara first brought this machlokes about shomer shemasa l'shomer. We paskin that like Rav Yochanan holds, if you a shomer gives it to another shomer, he's chayiv, right? Unless it's someone that the first person, the owner, generally trusts. So the Gemara asks another kasha on Rav Yochanan, the top of the handout. Moshe Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama asks a kasha from the Mishnah. Hamatkin mos eisel chaveiro. If someone gave money as a pikadon to his friend should be a shomer. And this shomer tsuravan hishila charav, he slung them over his shoulder, which is not a good way to wash them. Or misarin levino vitak tanim, he gave it to his little children to play with, gave them to watch, whatever. He gave them to little children who are not qualified to be shomerim. Or nafal mefneim shel karoi, his two girsas. Or he locked them improperly. Where it means that the children locked it improperly, they were pesheh with it. Chayiv, the shomer is chayiv. Shelo shomer kederach hashomer, he didn't do a normal type of shmirah, because if you're washing something, you don't throw it behind your shoulders. You don't give it to your little children. Now the Gemara makes a deal. Rami Bracham makes a deal. Time adiktan. The only reason he's chayiv is because he gave it to his small children. Hagadolim, but had he given him to children who are bar mitzvah, Pater, he would have been Pater, right? That's the deal. Why is he Chayiv? Because little children can't wash things. But had he given it to someone who could wash it, to an adult, then he would not have been Chayiv. So Amai, according to Yochanan, why is that so? Let the owner say, I don't want you giving it to anyone. Not your little children, but not even to an adult. Because this is a bias far or rabbis far that we said, I trust you with the shvua, I don't trust that other person with the shvua. Why are you pater? Why would you pater in such a case? So, and for the Gemara, Amar Rava, kol ha-mafkid, when you give something to someone to watch, al-das ishtu avanu v'mafkid, the assumption is that you will know that his wife and children will also be taking part of that watching, that part of that shmirah. When you give something to someone, his wife and children are part of the deal. First, let's just define what Isha Ovanov means. And if you see on the second side of the handout, the first section of what's called Isha Ovanov. So Minchas Pitim paskins that the same thing would be if his son-in-law. If his son-in-law lives in his house, the assumption is it doesn't have to be just his children, it could even be his son-in-law. The Marit Salon says it also includes his mother, and he brings a raya. He brings a raya from this next. We might as well see this next Gemara on the first side of the handout, which we'll see more detail soon. So the Gemara about Metziat Daf Mem Bei says like this: Haho Gavra, there was a person, Da'afkin Zuzi Gavi Chavre, who gave money to another person to watch. Ashlima Lima, he gave them to his mother to watch. Rosvina Bakar Tilasa, and she put it in a chest, which is not a good shmira for money in those days. Vihingu, the money got stolen. So Amar Rava, Rava said, Hechi nedayna dayonu haidina, what should judges do in such a case? Name a little di dayzil shalim. If you tell the shomer to go pay Amar, he can say, kol ha-makir adat isha v'anuhu makir. If you give something to me, my wife and children have the right, I have the right to give it to my wife and children also. They also are going to take part of the shmira. And if you tell the mother to pay, she could say, I didn't know that I was watching it for someone else. I thought it was my own son, so I wouldn't have to be so careful with them. But from the Gemara, the Maariv Salon says clearly, you see that this heter of wife and children applies also to his mother. Right, so that's his raya from this Gemara. We'll come back to this Gemara soon. Okay, the Maariv Salon says further that it doesn't have to be, if it was like a long-term watching, it was going to be a couple years, and say one of the children became bar mitzvah during that course of time. So it doesn't have to be when he handed it over. He has to know, oh, I know I'm giving it to this wife and this child and that child. Even if he gets married, say, in the middle of all he's watching, he gave it to him when he was single, and then he got married, or his children became bar mitzvah. So at that point, he could also give it. When you give something to someone watching, this is like Barry is saying that it's like an extension of my shmira, is my family. So it doesn't have to be that you knew at that time, even if you didn't know them. The fact that they're in my house gives me the right to give them to watch. Now this Panoni Zaha, he has an interesting svara. See how you like this. He brings from someone that paskins, this only works when you give it to a man, so then he has the right to give it to his wife, because men go to work, and the assumption is that you can't expect him to wash it all day, so he has the right to give it to his family members when he's away from the house. But women stay at home all day, so if you give it to a woman to watch, she has no heter to give it to her husband. Because there the assumption is, I'm giving it to a woman to watch, that means she's going to watch it the whole time, because where's she going to go? So Yechashim disagrees. I could think of two reasons why he would disagree. One reason I would disagree is that, because it's not so much because he's going to leave and she'll take over. It's when you give it to one, you know that they're in it together, they live in the house together, they share duties, whatever it is, and he's watching it sometimes, she'll watch it sometimes, they'll share it. The other reason to disagree is that it's not true anymore. That's, women do go out of the house, you know, like it's not Saudi Arabia. Okay, so that's by family members. The Mordechai extends this halacha one step further from this Gemara in Baba Kama that's on the first side of the handout, the last Gemara over there. The Gemara beginning of Hakona says, if you masara l'roen, watching someone's sheep, and you give it over to another shepherd, nichnas haroa, that shepherd takes over your responsibility. The Gemara has a whole machlokas, what's the case exactly. So the Gemara is now going with the assumption that it means that if you're a shomer, like I said, if you're a shomer for someone's sheep, and you give it over to someone else, that shepherd takes over your job. So the Gemara asks Akasha, Shomer kam itzei legame. So is the first shomer part to completely, if something happens, lema tavi tiyuf to derav. It should be Akasha and Rava, who we learned last week, Dama Rava, because Rava is paskin, like Rav Yochanan, that shomer shemasa l'shomer is chayiv. So here you have a shepherd, and he gave the sheep to another shepherd, so why is he going to be pater? Shomer shemasa l'shomer is chayiv, unless we know that that person always uses that shepherd, and we don't see that over here. So Amen Lecha Rava, Rava could answer you, my Misara L'Roa, what shepherd did he give it to? He gave it Levar Zila, he gave it to his trusty apprentice, to his worker, to the person that's always there. The Arche D'Roa L'Minsa Levar Zila, because shepherds generally give their animals that they're watching to their apprentices. So the Mordechai brings a raya from this Gemara that this heter of giving it to the wife or the children, that the owner doesn't mind you giving it to the wife or children, extends also to a person's worker. And he had a whole ma'isa that someone that was going on a boat trip, and he gave it to someone to watch the sailor, the captain, and the captain gave it to some of his workers. And the Mordechai Paskin, that just like over there, you have to trust the apprentice when he says that it wasn't a pshia, and he'll be pater, and you can't make the first shepherd pay. It's because it's not the case of shemesh shemasa l'shem. It's the same thing over here. If those workers on the boat will swear that nothing, they were not tosheya, so you have to accept their shvua, and you can't say, I trusted you, but I don't trust them. Right? Because this is another exception to the rule, shemesh shemasa l'shem. But just like if it's someone that you know that I trust, you can give it to them. If it's someone that you know that I know you're going to give it to, also I have to accept their shvua. But one thing, we're not talking about pshia yet. We're talking where they did something right, because normally shemesh 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 chayiv, even if there wasn't a pshia. But just like I should assume, if I'm the owner, that when I give it to you to watch, you're going to give it to your wife and your children. If you are a storekeeper, you have a business, you're also going to give it to your worker. That's what we learned from the Gemara in Bava Kama, that this shepherd, if he gives it to his worker, to his apprentice, so he's not chayiv. That's not called a pshia. That's not a problem. Shomer shemasa l'shomer. The Hagat HaShmi says another exception, a little bit different way. He says the exception a different way, let's put it that way. The Hagat HaShmi says, where you know that the person that you're giving it to never watches things himself. And there's a lot of cases in the postman, we'll see a few of them soon. You know when the person you're giving it to does not wash it himself, and you know he always gives it to his workers. So in that case, he's not responsible at all anymore. The assumption is that when you gave it to this person, his workers were going to take care of it, and he is absolved from any liability at that point. And this is Katkin the Shulchan Aruch Simcha Beis. This Hagos Hashvi, the Pesach question is why the Mordechai is not passing, but this Hagos Hashvi is passing.
We're saying that the workers are chayiv.
The worker will be chayiv, sure. The worker will be chayiv, but this shomer shemasal is shomer. That liability, just the fact you gave to someone else, which you have no right to do, and that makes you chayiv. That does not apply if you give it to your wife, to your children, to your relatives, or to your worker, and the. Maritza Alon says here also, it could be, it doesn't have to be the worker that was working for you when he gave it to you. If that worker left and now you have new workers, the assumption is when someone gives something to you to watch, you have the right to give it to your workers to help you watch it. This I think also is like a kash on the Pamanizot. You see that it's not as far that it's because you have to leave the house sometimes, that's why your wife's allowed to watch it. It's that when I give something to someone to watch, the assumption is that it's like an extended shmirah. This person and his family, his immediate family and his workers. Not because, well, he's going to have to leave and I have to have someone take over. It's a svara that whenever, and this is, everyone agrees with this, I need to prepare Shugamara. They all agree that a worker has the same din as a wife and children. First, I want to raise another issue, and that is maybe there's a difference, or maybe there's not. In other words, the wife and children, you know, when you take it to his house, this is his wife and those are his children. When you give it to the person to watch, do you need to know his workers? You need to know his workers. I just said the Maariv Tzalon's shita, but you need to know the workers also. So the Divrei Gaonim brings that Eidus LeYosef Shuvah Sefer, I don't have. He says that it's pashit that just like when you give it over to a wife and children, you know who they are. So the same thing is, if this person wants to give it over to his worker, he has to give it over to a worker that the owner at least knows that that's his worker. You can't just give it over to stam anyone. That happens to be his worker. So this Shura Sadin, who we're taking this case from, asks that the Divrei Gaonim himself brings other cases. He brings a case that we mentioned in the first year a few months ago. If you give something, you give your grain to a miller to mill, so he's like a shomer for that grain right now. So we said, so he brings from the Chesel Avram Paskin, that if his workers lose it, he's not responsible because he's allowed to give it to his workers. Everyone knows that when you give it to a miller, he's sitting up front, he's not going to be the main worker. He's going to give it to the workers to do. He just owns the business. But he's giving it to the workers, so he's not going to be responsible for that loss. He brings a couple cases like that, and so if you hold that you need to know who the workers are, how can you say when I give it to this miller who's sitting at the desk, he's not responsible, he's allowed to give it to the other workers, I don't know who those workers are. So the Shura said in this, Rabinowitz answers, that there's a difference between what type of worker, what type of shomer we're talking about. If we're talking about a shomer who, a regular person, who is allowed to give it to his worker, he has to give it to a worker that you know. But if it's someone who you know when you give it to him, he never washes himself, like the case of the miller, where you take something to FedEx and you give it to the person sitting up front, you know that they're not going to go and deliver it, they're going to give it to someone else. So in that case, you don't have to know who they are. That's the chilek he makes. Whether it's someone that you know for sure will not wash it himself, he holds in that case, you don't need to know who the workers are. But if it's someone that just he's washing it, and he is allowed to give it to his workers, it has to be a worker that you know. Then it's a difficult chilek, because first of all, this Maariv Tzalon says b'feirush not like that. He says that you don't need to know who the workers are, even if it's new workers that he hires later. And he's talking about the Mordechai's case. He's talking about a regular case of Ishto Ovanov, He says you don't need to know who the children are, just like you don't need to know who the children are, you don't need to know who the workers are. He's not talking about the case where you know that he never washes it himself, like the FedEx worker. He's talking about a regular person who sometimes washes, sometimes doesn't, and still he says you don't need to do it. The Pitzi Choshen also just leaves that first day of Gonim as Tarachiyun. So I think he would disagree with the Shura Sadin's assessment also.
So which is the guy you trust, the worker or the guy you give it to?
In which case?
You know what? When you give it
so
to
you're saying the same.
You know it's going to give it to somebody else.
So you are trusting him, you're trusting the person you give it to, but he has the right to give it to his worker.
Yeah, but he also doesn't have any rights. So really, you don't have to...
Well, he has that right. I mean, he...
No, because you say he's never going to work. He's never going to watch.
Yeah, but at this point, we're assuming all that means is that he's absolved from that chiyuv of shomer shemasa l'shomer, but he still has achrayus, the pashas on his own right. In other words, we said if you violate that iser shomer shemasa l'shomer, you're a shomer chinam, you're patur for his death. But if you give it to someone else wrongly and it gets stolen from that other person, then you're chayiv, even though you're normally patur from theft, because you have no right giving to someone else. So last week we said if you give it to a person who that person normally, the owner normally gives it to, then you will not be chayav for that theft. And this week we're saying if you give it to your wife, your children, your relatives, or to your worker, and it gets stolen, as a shomer chinam, you also will not be chayav for a shomer samasa the shomer because you were allowed to give it to them.
When FedEx loses your package, you go after the delivery guy.
So I'm saying, when you gave it to FedEx, there was a Shomer Sachar, but let's say there were a Shomer Chino, right, to make it simple. And they're not responsible for theft. And they gave it over to their workers, and it got stolen from those workers. So those workers, I think that they were also Shomer Chino, just to make it simple. Right, so those workers are Pater, because they're Pater for Geneva, and the owner is Pater because he didn't do anything wrong in giving it over to his worker. Okay, so far what we've learned is, just to quickly review, in a normal case of Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, the owner could say, I don't trust his Shvua, and I want you to pay me. But if it's someone that I'm allowed to give it to, so then he can't say, I don't trust his Shvua. Because if it's someone that he always gives it to, I can give it to that person. Or if it's my wife, my children, my relatives, or my worker, I could give it to him, and you're going to have to trust his Shvua. Right, that's what we're saying. That was the first thing we said. The second issue, whether you have to recognize them or not. So he wants to make a machlokas. The Shura Sadin, I'm not sure if it's. It seems the Maariv Salon is an early Achron, so it's hard to make that chiluk that he's making. So it would seem that he wouldn't need to know the worker either. But now we get to this last issue, and it might be the muddiest, and that is what happens if the not like the case we're talking, not the easy cases. What happens if the second person, the wife, the children, the worker, were prosheya? Right? They were negligent. Now, it's simple. If they're negligent, they have to pay. They are b'nei da'as. They are negligent. They have to pay. There's nothing to talk about. Right? I gave it. I had the right to give it to them. Right? I had the right to give it to them. And they were negligent. So they have to pay the owner for the loss that they caused to his property by being negligent. Right? That's nothing to talk about. What there is to talk about is what happens if they're negligent and they run away or they don't have any money to pay. So in that case, do I, the original shomer, have any responsibility? This is machlokes Tosfos and Rambam. Tosfos says clearly in Bava Metzia and Beis Hamidos, the doc just got there. Tosfos says clearly that when we say kol mafkir adas each of anu who mafkir, when you give something to someone to watch, he has the right to give it to his wife and children. Rabbeinu Tam says that only means that he has the right to give it to them, and if something happens, you have to accept their oath. You can't say I don't trust their oath, I trust you, I don't trust them. But if they were posheya and they don't have any money to pay, you are still the shomer. You are the shomer who had a right to give it to your wife and children. And if your wife and children don't have the money to pay, you have to pay instead of them. So Tosfos is looking at this din of Ishtov and Eveso and saying, It's like a group project here. I'm the Shomer. I am the Shomer. It's my responsibility. I am responsible. But I have the right to share, have someone, to give it to someone else, and I won't be called Proshe. I'll be giving it to someone else. But I retain full responsibility of the Shmira. Just like I could put it in my safe and dig it in the ground and watch it like that, like we said last week, I can also give it to, like we said last week, to this person that you always give it to, or I could give it to my wife and children. That's part of my Shmira. Now, since they are B'nai Das, if they're Posheya, they have to pay. They're not like animals, they're not machines, they're people. So they have to pay if they are negligent. But if they're not available to pay, so then I am the Shomer, I'm responsible, and I will have to pay in that case also. I would assume that's the same halacha by FedEx. Now, you probably depend on Minhag HaMakom. By FedEx, the employees make a mistake and they are negligent, they leave the door locked and the package gets lost, so they'll probably have to pay the company, and the company pays me. Suppose they don't have any money. So the company can say, look, I have the right to give it to the worker, but I made the deal with you. You're my Shomer, you just gave it to that other person. But your dealings are with me, or my dealings are with you. You have to take responsibility. The Mordechai brings a Rambam. For the Rambam, it's mashma, not like that. The Rambam brings a raya from the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Kama that misar l'roa nichnas haroa tachta. If you give it over to a shepherd, the shepherd takes his place. That's mashma. That maybe it's where you got that mashma. It's mashma that you don't have responsibility anymore. This shepherd now assumes the responsibility. So from that the Rambam and other Rishonim learned that, I think the Rashba, the Ramban, they all learned that if you gave it to someone who you're allowed to give it to, your wife, your children, a worker, they take your place, and if they are negligent, they have to pay, and if they don't have money, you don't have to worry about it anymore. They are now the new Shomrim. Right? They're looking at it differently. The Tosus looks at it as, I'm the Shomer, but I have the right to give it to someone else as part of my Shmira. The Rambam is looking at it and saying that when I give it over to someone I'm allowed to, they are now the Shomer. The Lashon he says is it's Ki'ilu. The owner was Masar to the Isha. That's the Svara that the Rambam holds. The Mordechai himself and the Agos HaShvi have a compromise. They have an in between Shita to answer that kasha from the Roe. Right? How can you disagree? I mean, the Gemara in Baba Kama said clearly that the apprentice is Nichnas Tachtav. He assumes the responsibility of the shepherd. So they say that there's a difference in the two types of people. If I'm the type of person, if I'm the type of shomer who never watches anything, and that's the case of a big shepherd. A big shepherd, he doesn't do anything himself. He gives out all the work to the small shepherds. That's where they learn the case in Baba Kama. So over there, where it's a big shepherd who always gives over things to other people to watch, so there, they certainly take his place, and they are the full responsibility anymore, and he doesn't have any responsibility. My job was to find you a shomer. That was my job. I'm not a shomer. My job was to find you a shomer. If everything goes okay, so I'll take care of it, but if they are poshea, they'll pay you, and if they are not around, too bad. But the Mordechai agrees with Tosus that if it's a normal case of a shomer, I'm watching it, and I usually watch it, or I sometimes watch it, and just, I want to give it to my worker, I want to give it to my wife and children, I have all the right to do that, he says. That's what we're saying, you have the right to give it to your worker, or to your wife, or your children. But if they would be Posheya, they are not becoming the new Shomer now. You are still the Shomer with the right to give it to them. And if they are negligent, they will have to pay, and if they don't have money to pay, you're going to have to pay, because you are still the Shomer. So this machlokas is brought in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Reisayav, Chav Dalid. The Ramah actually brings the machlokas. If they don't have the money to pay, Yeshem and the Baal Bayis has to pay. Some say he's Pater. And the Shach says, he passes like this Mordechai and Halgar Sashri, and this I think would be Halach L'maisa. It makes a difference and says that if it's someone that you know is not going to watch it, so then you have to pay. Then that person assumes all responsibility, and you're not the Shomer anymore at all. Just quickly, that in Siman Ayin Beis there's a Shaila whether this Machlokas extends also to the case we had last week. If I give it over to someone that you usually trust, and that person is Posheya, for sure he has to pay. If he doesn't have the money, so then there's an issue, the machlokas shach and sma, whether this same machlokas applies there. And that's just something to know. So Rabbi Rabinowitz, in his case, says like this. Right, so let's go back to our case. This owner of the Sifrei Torah gave, we'll just say easy, gave it over to Shimon. He gave it, Reuven gave his farm to Shimon to watch. Shimon is now watching the Sifrei Torah, and Shimon gave it, instead of taking himself to the buyer, Shimon gave it to his worker to take to the buyer. Now, it's a little tricky. What's tricky here is, let's say Reuven agreed Shimon could give it to his worker to take the to the buyer. But did Reuven agree that Shimon's worker could bring it back to the store? He never agreed to anything like that. Now, last week we said, oh,
what else should happen?
It should be sold. Or
but he wasn't selling.
Okay, if it doesn't get sold, so then Shimon, it's your job to go take care of it. I don't know him. Last week we had the halacha that if I send something to you with a shliach, you have the right to send it back to me with the same shliach. We quoted the Shav HaKalei. So, even there are those that disagree. So, he says, that's where I sent this shliach to you with my object, so you have the right to send that shliach back to me. But over here, that's not what happened. Here, I asked you to take it. You say you're going to send your worker. Okay, you send your worker. But you don't have clear instructions from me that I gave you the right to have your worker take it back. Okay, so he says, first of all, there might be a problem. Shomer semasilis, shomer leischai completely. Okay, so that's maybe subject to debate. So then he says, okay, let's assume that it was okay to give it to him. It's okay to give it to him. So you want to say it should be okay to? It's not, you know, that we'll leave that issue aside. But maybe it's okay to give it to him because it's a worker. We just went through this whole thing that if I'm washing something for you, I'm allowed to give it to my worker. So he says, first of all, you don't know the worker. That's what she taught. So he also, you have to know the worker. So we said that's not such a good taina because you really don't need to know the worker. But over here, what happened was the worker was Poshaya, and the worker is not here on the scene anymore. Now, if the worker is Poshaya, and he's not on the scene anymore, are you responsible? So there's the machlokas. Ramah has the machlokas. In a case where, in normal cases, the machlokas. But in a case where we know that you're going to give it to someone, right? You never do it yourself. You give it, always give it to someone else to do, so then for sure you're not responsible. Right? So what's the case over here? So here apparently the case was that sometimes Shimon did it himself, sometimes he sent the shliach. So he says based on that, there's a grounds to make him chayav for the pshia of his shomer, even though he himself wasn't posheya, the worker was posheya, but once the worker's not here anymore, it could be that he's responsible based on this machlokas of the Ramah. So he makes his whole collection of svaras to say that Shimon should be chayav because he shouldn't have given it to the worker. We don't see clearly that it's a case where it's not like last week's case, and even though he gave it to the worker, he might have had the right to give it to the worker, assuming it's also, it's not someone that's rogalesa like last week's case. But I could give it to my worker, but if the worker's pesheya, so then it could be that I'm responsible. So he came out that he's chayiv, it could be he compromised on the amount. That's what you can